Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly assume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. I wanted something big. I wanted a blockbuster superhero kind of movie feeling there. That's why I made you sing it over and over again. I don't know if you've seen any of the superhero movies. We had a whole bunch of them the last year. More to come this summer. I mean, we've had from Thor and the Justice League and the Black Panther and the Avengers and Deadpool and Ant-Man, and we have been entertained by superhumans, aliens, and even gods, small g. Remember how it all started? Some of us are my age or older. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel with his bare hands. You remember? Comic books, radio, black and white television, that's how it all began. Or did it start earlier? Like that reading we've just had from Luke's gospel and then from Acts. The ascension, the story of a strange visitor who came to earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Jesus, who can change the course of mighty storms, feed 5,000 with his bare hands. It's kind of like that, isn't it? And that's the problem, my friends often tell me. That's the problem with the church and these stories that Christians insist on telling. They're too supernatural. They're unbelievable. They're beyond us. They're from another planet, I suppose. Except that to many of us, these stories are not supernatural at all. They're in fact extremely natural. They reveal the true nature of our lives. I mean, no matter what the parallels, I will insist that the Bible is not a comic book or a movie. And Jesus is not Superman. Let me explain, because I know some of you doubt me. First, Superman was born on another planet. He's an alien who comes to love humanity. At first, it was just America, but now it's everyone. And he disguises himself as a human. He pretends that he's just like us with his glasses. And from time to time, he slips into his jammies and cape, and he fixes things that we can't fix. Superman. Now, no matter what anybody tells you, that's not Jesus. Jesus was not born on another planet. He was born on Earth, in the neighborhood. His mother was human and known to us. His father, it's a little trickier, okay, granted. But it's clear from Luke's gospel that although miraculous, right, because angels sang and all that stuff, but Jesus is still fully human. He's not like us, but actually the same as us. And that's not Superman. I mean, I like Superman as much as the next guy. That last Avengers movie was pretty rough, but never mind. When I see bullets bounce off his chest or I watch him fly through the air, that tells me a whole lot about an alien from Krypton and almost nothing about me. The story of Jesus tells me about me. The story of the ascension, it's only told in Luke's gospel. Matthew doesn't tell it. Mark doesn't tell it. John doesn't know the story. But Luke does. In fact, I think Luke needs to tell the story. And you may have heard me say before, because I come back to this often, that Luke's gospel, it's kind of like a musical. It's full of great, sweeping, dramatic moments that are just begging for orchestras and costume changes and lots of lights and choreography and people on wires and all sorts of great stuff. It's Luke that gives us Mary bursting into song with the Magnificat, you know, upon realizing that she's about to be a mom. It's Luke that gives us the multitudes of angels at Jesus' birth. Luke gives us the dramatic dialogue between Jesus and the two thieves in the crucifixion. And now we've come to the show-stopping finale. And Luke gives us the big exit. You know, years later, I can still sing almost any song from any musical that I have ever seen. And that's what Luke wants. He wants you singing the finale. He wants to take your breath away. He wants you to light up and get excited every time you tell the story of Jesus. You know, not worrying about the reality and could it happen like this. Luke's gospel, like a musical, it's not an intellectual endeavor. I mean, it's not anti-intellectual. You don't have to be dumb to read it. But the focus is not on the intellectual. It's on the emotional. It's on the spiritual. It's trying to communicate things that we just don't know how to say with simple words. Like, you don't watch Oklahoma to see what real cowboys are like, right? You don't criticize West Side Story because street gangs don't really dance like that. And we're pretty sure that in 1776, people did not sing or talk like they do in the musical Hamilton, okay? Because something other than history is being presented in these shows, right? Same as this show in Luke's gospel. I don't know how Jesus left us. I don't know if he climbed a ladder or a cloud came down. I don't know if there were angels or he just walked off into the sunset. What I do know is that Luke doesn't want you to just read the gospel, any gospel, but particularly his, in a literal way. He wants you to be emotionally connected, spiritually informed. Do you remember the beginning of The Lion King or the end of Come From Away? Do you remember how you felt if you were at those shows, the tears in your eyes? That's what he wants. He wants you to just look beyond the words, beyond the details, into the poetry and the music and recognize the deeper truths. He wants you to feel them in your bones. He wants you singing them on the way out of the theater. So here is the ascension, the grand finale. Right? The final act. It starts with the crucifixion and it builds to the glorious ascension, up, up, and away. And in that, it reveals our true nature. Not Superman's, ours. Because Jesus is one of us. Not disguised as Clark Kent pretending to be one of us. One of us. And what you need to know is that our lives will always run between crucifixion and ascension. We will always find ourselves between struggle and glory. That's what life is. The power of the one comes from the experience of the other. Our humanity includes both. Sounds a little airy-fairy, doesn't it? Okay. Let me go back to Superman for a minute. You see, Superman always shows up, right, when Lois Lane or Jimmy Olsen's in trouble. He shows up when there's nothing that we regular folk can do to make things right. And then he stops the bad guy, he catches the falling plane, he even changes the weather. In short, he does all the things that we can't do. When disaster strikes, Superman fixes everything for us because we can't possibly do it without him. And I do note that a lot of people talk about Jesus the same way. But I think they're missing the point, at least the point that Luke is trying to make in his grand finale. We are presented with Jesus, who is unjustly accused, beaten up, stripped naked, crucified. Things like that don't happen to Superman or Superboy or Supergirl or super people generally. But things like that do happen to real people, like you and me. All of us have had times of great vulnerability. We just don't talk about them often. We often do our best to forget about them because they make us feel vulnerable and we don't want to be vulnerable. We want to be Superman. And so we don't ask for directions. We're fine, thank you. We have all the answers. We don't need help. Our kids are perfect. Our parents are great. Facebook is real life. But to be human is to be vulnerable. Think about those times when you've been vulnerable, when you've dared. Asking for directions got you there a lot sooner, didn't it? Not knowing all the answers meant that some new ideas were shared with you weren't they? Not being fine helped you discover another person who shares your struggle. And it's good to know that you're not alone. But let's just go a little deeper. I remember in my early ministry, a young father dying of cancer. Couldn't stop it. I wanted to. I couldn't make his wife or two sons feel better. I felt so incredibly out of my element. Why couldn't I fix it? Why couldn't I make it better? Through the 3 months that would be seen as the end of John's life, I have rarely felt so vulnerable. And on the last day, and we knew it was the last day, they asked me to stay home with John's 6-year-old son, who did not want to go to the hospital anymore. And so I spent the afternoon with this little boy. And then I got the call. And I sat down with the little boy to tell him that his father had just died. And I'm not going to tell you about the tears or what the two of us shared together in that moment. That's between us. But I will tell you that we still feel a bond 22 years later. In that vulnerability, in that emotional nakedness, a bond is created. And in these bonds that we create, suddenly there's understanding and there's patience and there's support. You don't go to war with someone with whom you have a bond. You can't let injustice go unanswered when you're bonded to the victim. You'd never let someone close to you go hungry, right? You know what I mean now? Afraid, unsure, out of our element, not sure what to do, but willing to be human. That's real connection. That's love. And Superman has no idea. Physical intimacy can be like that. And don't worry, I'm not going to discuss my sex life or anybody else's. But I will say that so often the problem with romance or physical intimacy on TV or in the movies is that it takes all the vulnerability away. Everybody is airbrushed and confident, knowing what to do. None of the vulnerability is there, the worry, the mistakes, the laughter. I'll stop now. But you get my point. You know what I'm talking about. Real connection happens in our shared vulnerability, not in our common expertise. And Superman doesn't get that. He just doesn't understand that. But Jesus does. And so does Luke when he tells the story. He presents a naked and vulnerable Jesus. And that vulnerability is not a sign of failure. It's the key to his success. And then having shared that, he exits. Not stage right, not stage left, not into the sunset, but up, up, up into heaven with his body, which is so important to me. He took his body. He didn't slip out of it and leave it behind the way that Superman takes off his glasses and tie to leave Clark Kent behind. He doesn't discard his body because we're not meant to discard our humanity. We're meant to embrace it. We're meant to revel in it. We're meant to use it. It's not Jesus' divinity that saves the world or changes the world. It's his humanity. The very humanity that he shares with us so that we can understand that we too can change the world. You and me, in our humanity. We're not meant to sit around waiting for Jesus or Superman to fix the world. We're meant to be part of it. I mean, think of the witness of Scripture. God doesn't act alone. God always invites engagement. God doesn't write words in the sky. God introduces God's self to Abraham. God doesn't send a boat. He tells Noah how to build one. God doesn't just write down rules. God becomes present to us in Jesus to show us what rules look like when they are loved and lived. And Jesus doesn't do it alone. He gathers friends to help. We are always invited to be in this with God. Not waiting to be saved by Superman, but actively involved. Not denying our humanity or wishing that we could be something better, but embracing our humanity and using it to actually make a difference. So now comes the point when I reveal that I'm not Luke. I mean, you've probably already figured out that I'm not Luke, age and all, but I am keenly aware in this moment that I'm not Luke because, unlike Luke, I don't have a big finish for this sermon. No orchestral swell, no whole cast on stage singing Welcome to the Rock or Elphaba defying gravity and Wicked. I've got no big wrap-up that's going to bring it all home. I imagine the folks standing around watching Jesus go up into the air, up, up and away, and then their eyes fall back on earth, and they're left looking at each other and wondering, now what? Well, it's not a big finish, but maybe the answer has already been revealed. Now what? Dare to be vulnerable, broken and hurting with each other, recognizing that it's our humanity that brings us to God. So don't sit around waiting for Superman. Don't sneer at yourself and imagine how much better you could be. Just be and know that it's enough. And now, like a good musical, just let me add a little coda, a theme you've already heard much earlier in the show. In these bonds that we create, suddenly there is understanding, patience, and support, because we don't go to war with someone with whom we have a bond. And we don't let injustice go unanswered when we're bonded to the victim. And none of us would ever let someone close to us go hungry. It all starts when we dare to be vulnerable, and it lifts us all. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the music. Thank you for the show. Thank you for the emotions. Thank you for the truth. May we in time be impacted by it all. May we be lifted up to a point where we're no longer afraid to be broken and vulnerable with each other, where we're ready to listen and stand with those who feel alone, where we're ready to embrace our humanity and change the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.